Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
One of the biggest questions I have of myself in my almost 31 years of life is why I became a Cleveland Browns fan. I'm your host, Josh Poha. As usual, with Joe Gilbert, we're here at Browns Instant Insights after their Monday night loss in Pittsburgh to Ben Roethlisberger's last game, 26-14. You knew Pittsburgh wasn't going to lose that game in Big Ben's last home game ever.
No.
I guess the positive here is that thank goodness Cincinnati won yesterday.
Oh my god!
So that the Browns were already eliminated from playoff contention. Because if they still had a chance at the playoffs tonight, my goodness! I mean, that was an ugly game to begin with. I couldn't even imagine if the Browns still had a shot at the playoffs, and that's how they came out and played.
Yeah, I said that. I said that about midway through the game. It was pretty bad. It was. That would have been just, oh my god, gut wrenching. But Josh, what are we presented by here? I was gonna say that next.
Ready? Have to call me out because I forgot to do it. And
I'm just leading you into it.
If you're tuning in to us live at this late night 12:15 a.m. Tuesday morning hour, we are live on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And this podcast, like always, is presented by the Evergreen Podcast Network. Back to you, Joe.
Thank you. Today was just it just seemed like it was just like the end of a train wreck. It was just like
the end of a train wreck. I feel like
we still have one more game, but
that would be like the longest train wreck in train wreck history.
That fourth quarter was one of the worst quarters we've had to sit through in a long time, and it was bad. And I said this prior to the thing. I have a hard time. I know people are gonna say, "What are your options?" But I just have a hard time seeing Baker being back. I think it might be mutual, and this game kind of just unraveled. And Most of the reasons was because of that offense and the quarterback position. They just it was a bad showing.
I think I will go with Tom Valentino, who's also part of our Waiting for Next Year group of podcasts, and his podcast is called The Nail in the Coffin. I think tonight's game was the nail in the coffin for Baker Mayfield. Will not be back with the Browns next year. I think it was out there like, yeah, it's probably not going to happen. But the way he played,
the comments after the game.
for those of you tuning into us live after the game, remember, Kevin Stefanski never throws anyone under the bus. He always says, oh, yeah, it was my fault, blah, 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 my fault, my fault, my fault. Baker Mayfield, exact quote after the game. Their front's pretty good. Has been for years. You've got TJ Watt over there, not giving our rookie tackle much help, not going to be good. If that's not calling out your head coach and his offensive game plan, I really don't know what is calling out your head coach. It's almost been like a 12-week divorce that has carried over and over that they're trying to work out, but you know that's right. Not going to work out in the end, and it's only gotten uglier. And now with 1 week left before it has to be decided if you're going to get divorced or not, it has almost reached its peak.
That's a totally good description. It's just it just keeps getting worse and worse. Like, even like in the middle of the season, he was performing. He would at least score. The offense was moving. There was obviously search, like the red zone was a big issue. He couldn't finish things, but he was at least getting the offense moving. The last, three or four weeks, they haven't even been doing that. It's a little bit last week, but it's been awful, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. And this is like early Hugh Jackson offense bad, and that's not great.
The thing that stinks the most, especially in that, well, not only due to the fact that the Steelers just swept the Browns,
yeah,
and the Browns offense look ugly in both games. I mean, the Browns offense looked good in the fourth quarter, but let's be honest, it was somewhat garbage time.
Yeah.
And
the refs kind of helped.
The Browns, yeah, the Browns had Super Bowl aspirations this year. Mm-hmm. The Steelers were picked to finish last in the division. This was supposed to be a very bad, well, not a very, in Pittsburgh standards, a very bad year.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers just clinched a better record than the Browns this season.
29, and
the Steelers, 29, right? The Steelers' worst is still better than the Browns.
Yeah. And that I think I saw it's the 29th time, straight time, that they've had a better record. I think it was 29, which is just.
And the Browns, I don't think Big Ben. I don't think Big Ben ever had a losing record, and he's about to retire.
No, because Tomlin's never had it, and
it's crazy. I mean, the stability, the winning culture. I mean, they're our biggest rival. Let's be honest. The Steelers are our biggest rival.
To the
rival.
Browns, yeah.
I don't think the Browns are the Steelers' biggest rival. Let's be
not
honest.
Not at all. That's Ravens. Baltimore. Yeah.
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 I mean, just. Man, being on like one side in Ohio State Michigan rivalry, I'm on the complete opposite end of the Brown Steelers rivalry, and it sucks.
That's a great way of saying it.
It is. It's literally the complete opposite.
We're literally the Michigan of this. Oh my god!
But put it this way: Big Ben's about to retire after what seems like 55 million years.
Yeah,
he only lost one game to the Browns at home, which was last year's playoff game. I think he just finished 14-1.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the winningest Browns quarterback in the First Energy Stadium, home of the Cleveland Browns, or winningest quarterback in Cleveland Browns Stadium since 1999. And he literally plays there once a year. Think about that. And by the way, another quote from Baker.
Oh, God.
Asked if he's put in the best position possible this season, or asked if he's been put in the best position possible this season. I'm not going to get into too many details about that as a full season situation. Obviously, we've been pretty banged up. And then he also said, I'm a fighter, quote unquote. He wanted to gut it out, but now it's time, quote, it's time for me to think about my family and my best interests. Well, he will talk to his agent and family about possibly sitting next week. If it's always been about your health and best interest, wouldn't your best interest be making millions of dollars? Yeah. Wouldn't your best interest be making millions of dollars for you and your family? The amount of money that Baker lost this year is incredible.
It is. Yeah. And, like, it's just crazy. Yeah. It's just, this whole season is just, like, shaking my head. Like, I don't know.
We should have known this. As experienced Browns fans, even though we're young, we should have known this was coming.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sucks.
It does. I mean,
to anyone that put money on the Browns winning the AFC North, winning the AFC Conference, or winning the Super Bowl, I sincerely feel bad for you, but you have to remember, this is the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is – it's just – yeah, this offense, it was broken. It kind of – it was like one of those tires that you're driving with a loose tire, and it just finally falls off because all the wheels fell off.
One loose tire, he means like all four of them are loose, yeah. And it was like bumpy. Like you're on like a straight – road that has no bumps.
You think you're gonna make it through. You think you can make it through, and nope, it just falls apart one tire at a time.
I hate being so negative when it comes to this. I feel like I've been super negative the last few weeks, but it's hard to be positive about this team right now.
Really, I know.
It really is. The defense definitely worth being positive about, but the team as a whole, I mean,
not so much.
They are Are they 7-9 now? Yeah, they're 7-9. Oh my gosh. It's just, and I mean, we won't get in, it's already almost 12:30 in the morning here, so we won't get into it. Joe and I will be back with you next week after the season finale, and then probably we'll do more. We didn't do any off-season podcasts last year. We'll definitely do some off-season ones.
Yeah. Especially this season, there's, because this is going to be a wild off-season.
There's so much to talk about. NFL draft, what to do with Baker, or who to bring in, possibly bring in as an upgrade, or just to be your starting quarterback. There's just so much to talk about.
We thought we had a calm off-season last year. That was just our little breather for this off-season.
That was the quiet before the storm.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So let's just talk about this game tonight, because that's what we're supposed to do anyways. Up until the fourth quarter, Big Ben was about 24 for – he finished 24 for 46 with 123 yards, one touchdown and one interception. And up until like middle of the fourth quarter, he was by far the best quarterback in the game. That is not good. He threw 46 passes for only 123 yards and was by far the best quarterback in the game.
That's incredible. It was a battle of just really shitty quarterbacks. They pulled for just really shitty quarterbacks. That's all we
the
can
problem,
say.
The problem is that one of them seems like he's 55 going on 100, and the other one's was supposed 25. To be the franchise quarterback.
Yeah, and he's 25. Yeah, it's I still can't believe that this team lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers twice this season. This was the worst Pittsburgh Steelers team they've had in two decades now, I think, maybe. Probably close to it. It's pretty incredible that they have a better record and they swept the series. It's an indictment on this team. It just it's just the icing on the cake of this shit cake, pretty much the shit cake of the season, as they say. There's going to be a lot of change this offseason. I don't think anything in coaching or anything, but this roster, especially on offense, is going to be overhauled.
I think the only possible change at coaching will be, I know it came out prior to the game, I don't remember who tweeted out, Alex Van Pelt, the Browns OC, although he does not call the plays, met with Pat Narduzzi, who is is it Pittsburgh University or University of Pittsburgh? Either way, University. Pittsburgh's college team's head coach to possibly be their OC. So the only change that I guess that'd be a big time change if you lose your OC, even if he doesn't call plays. Yeah. So that's the only big time change actually coming on the coaching staff. But there's going to be a ton of change on
the offense. Roster. The offense could get six new starters. Six.
Nick Chubb.
Five new starters.
Hopefully they extend David Njoku. Hopefully he doesn't want too much money, because he'll be the best tight end. Yeah. I don't see Austin Hooper coming back.
No. Receivers might be a sweep.
Yeah, really. Well, no, DPJ, he could be like wide receiver three. The top two wide receivers.
Yeah, the top two at least.
It's just crazy. I mean, they overhauled the defense last year, and I think they're going to do the same thing on the offensive side of the ball this year.
Yeah.
Both through the draft and in free agency. Yeah.
And they're going to have to. Yeah.
I mean, you only have so much time with Myles Garrett in his prime and Denzel Ward and those type of guys in their prime. So you're going to have to do something. And it's just.
This offense is somehow in a worse position than the defense was last year. I don't know how that happened, but we are somehow in that position. And Barry's got a big job this offseason.
Do you know? I know how it happened. It's because it's the Cleveland Browns, Joe.
Is that just the reason for everything?
Only in Cleveland, #only in Cleveland is said a little bit too much. But I swear to you, this type of stuff literally only happens in Cleveland.
Yeah. I would think so.
Tennessee, I mean, let's go through it. I know I was listening. I made the mistake and listened to 92.3 this morning. Although I do love Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Yes. It's basically the only sports talk I listen to. And I just wanted to see what was being said. Lima said, like, look at all these teams. Like, the Browns somehow got worse with Super Bowl aspirations. Look at some teams throughout the league. Tennessee Titans just lost arguably the best running back in the league. They literally just lapped up the number one seed in the AFC.
They had no receivers. So anyone who wants to complain about Baker not having receivers, they had nobody for much of the year. Julio and AJ were out.
And then I forget what other examples he said, but it was like, wow. Like, these teams literally, like, tear it down and then build back up so quickly, and then there's the Browns.
Yeah.
All right, so back to this game tonight, I guess.
Maybe the Browns are built on, like a haunted spot in Berea or something.
Maybe it's just haunted in Cleveland. Because outside of June 19th, 2016, I'd argue that the entire Cleveland sports fan base is haunted.
Hey, we have Evan Mobley, though.
True. Yeah, and that's another thing. Joe and I will hopefully start podcasting about the Cavs sometimes, too.
Yes.
Because they're by far the best team in Cleveland. By far. It's not even close.
And light years more fun.
Wait, hold on. You said funner last week, didn't you? Funner. I think you said funner last week.
More fun than any team in the city. But, we'll get to that hopefully soon.
All right, back to this game tonight. Baker Mayfield, with his play lately, with the comments, it's going to be – if I had to put my money down on one side, it would be that it's going to be an ugly divorce. Now that the Browns are officially eliminated from the playoffs, now that they just got swept by a not very good Pittsburgh team this year, I have a feeling that a lot of stuff's going to be coming out.
Oh, yeah.
From both sides. If one side shares something, the other side's going to
If everyone forgot what leaks are, oh, my God, it's going to be leaky in Berea. We haven't had that in what 2 years now, and
Do you know how bad things have been for the Browns since 1999? Joe just made it sound like they haven't had it in so long, and then he said 2 years.
2 years. Hey, that's long. That's like 20 years in Browns. Browns
like
years.
Dog years. Like, do you know how dog years? It's 7 years. Berea years. Every year is 10 years.
But yeah, it's gonna be leaky and. I before the game
that is such I don't say leaky anymore. That's almost like moist. Leaky. Two words that you should just not say very often.
But yeah, I before the game I had the feel like I thought they were gonna replace him, but I didn't think it was 100% because obviously the options have to come to fruition. But right now, I don't know how they come together, like. With the comments today after the game and just what he put on the field today and what we've seen all season, it just seems really hard to see them back together next year.
All right. So I guess this is another podcast, but I'll just leave it out there as a little teaser. Is there a way for Bill O'Brien to, I know he's currently the OC at Alabama, to become a GM of one of the NFL teams and trade a first round pick for Baker?
I think Seattle's looking for a GM.
All right. So, hey,
come on,
guys.
Bill.
Baker for Baker Russell Wilson and a number one.
How about just a second? Just okay. Like just like the DeAndre Hopkins trade.
Baker for a second round pick and Russell Wilson. Boom. Yeah, that's an even trade. Sounds like it's an even trade to me.
We solved both problems, man. We solved the Seattle's problem and we solved the Browns' problem. You're welcome.
If the Browns can get a first round pick for Trent Richardson, they damn sure can get a first round pick for Baker Mayfield.
Oh my God. Who did we trade him? We traded him to who was that? Oh, the Colts.
And then that's what we did with that first round pick. I'm pretty sure that was the year that we drafted Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel. So those two first round picks turned some really good stuff.
Turned real well.
right, back to the meeting. We need to stop going on tangents, especially because we don't want to talk that long tonight. Oh, another Baker then. Tipped. Okay, not only did he start off like 1 for 11 or whatever ugly number it was.
The tip king, man.
He had 4 of his first 9 passes were tipped incompletions. And I think 2 of them, besides those, were drop passes. So 6 of them were all yes, tipped passes aren't necessarily the quarterback's fault. Actually, no, they are all the quarterback's fault mainly. Or it's just good defense. TJ Watt. Yeah,
sometimes it's a good play.
Yeah. But then when you have Baker, a short quarterback that doesn't really move his eyes, TJ Watt literally, I mean, there was a time, and I think in the third quarter, TJ Watt didn't rush the passer, knew that Baker was going to come to the side and literally just stayed, didn't move when I can't even talk, when the ball was snapped, stayed in a spot and just jumped up when Baker passed the ball. Boom. Easy tip pass. And then he talked so much crap to Baker after that play, too.
Yeah. Yeah, like at some point, like obviously you'll get 1, maybe 2.
Did he end up with 6 tonight?
I think it was either 5 or 6. But like once you get to like 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, man, that's on you, man. You do something. Find another window. Stop staring down the freaking receivers all the time. Like that is bad.
And then not only that, but the tip passes. So the defense. It's almost like, I mean, it's easy when the Browns don't really have a deep. Like we said a few weeks ago, when you're deep, your biggest deep threat, literally and figuratively, is a tight end, David Njoku, that's a problem. So when the Browns don't have a deep threat, we'll get a Nick Chubb after this. It's just so easy for a defense. Load the box, read the quarterback size if they're passing it. More than 50% of the time when he passes it, it's either going to be a short 2-yard slant or a screen. It's just like so, and I'm not even blaming Kevin Stefanski because I think it's more just the guys that are suiting up on the team. It's just how far this offense has fallen this year is just so disappointing.
Yeah, I truly did not see this coming. I don't know how anyone could have saw this coming, but I can't even remember what that offense looked like last year. It's night and day, and it starts with 6. I had to say, I'm sorry.
The most important. It starts with the most important position in sports.
Yep.
And the Browns currently have way more questions than answers at that position. That's a problem. So, a position that they don't have questions about: running back Nick Chubb. He had 4 carries in the first half. Everyone was wondering why D'Ernest Johnson was getting so much playing time, especially because Nick Chubb, when he got the ball, I think he averaged like 8.8 yards a carry with those 4 carries in the first half. At halftime, it was someone had a source that said it's not because Nick Chubb is hurt. He's not hurt. Kevin Stefanski says after the game that Nick Chubb had a rib injury in the first half, which is why he held him out for much of the game. Which, hey, if he did, I'm completely okay.
Right.
There's no point in risking anything in a meaningless game for the Browns.
Right. If he had even like a torn toenail, I wouldn't play him. Like there's no
I'm just wondering what's going through your head right now out of all the injuries you could have just said.
I literally was just trying to figure out what the smallest
torn toenail.
Those are bad, man. but yeah, it's
ingrown toenail, not like a broken finger.
I was thinking of the smallest injury, and then I was like, let's go with torn. I don't know.
That is incredible. All right, continue.
My bad.
I just can't believe that your mind went straight to torn toenail.
I like to go with the graphic injuries first. But yeah, it's if there was anything wrong with him, there was absolutely no point. I thought it was pretty clear on what was happening last year or in the first half when he wasn't playing. It was clear that they were trying to save him, not run him into the ground. And that's the right move. There's no point in winning this game and trying to outrun Pittsburgh. I don't know why people kept asking. There was like, I was getting so so mad. Like, people were just continue asking. Like, there's a clear answer for this, and he obviously answered it after the game, but it was the right move keeping him out, and especially for, like, the running back position is especially the one that you need to keep an eye on. Like, they have a shelf life a lot shorter than any other position, so it was the right move.
Asterisk, the Browns starting quarterback has a shorter shelf life.
That's true. But it was the right move, and I would say they'll probably sit him the rest of the year, or at least next week. But we'll see.
Man, next week is literally just going to be a glorified preseason game.
Yep.
Because Cincinnati just locked up the AFC North. I don't know how they are with seeding, but I wouldn't be surprised if Cincinnati doesn't play anyone either.
I think they could get the one seed, but they have to have like three teams lose. So I don't know how much.
Do you know what I was just thinking? Browns fans, especially Browns fans, but the NFL as a whole, we hated on Cincinnati for drafting Ja'Marr Chase, a wide receiver in the first round, when they needed offensive line help, especially with Joe Burrow coming back from a torn ACL. We hated on the Steelers because they have and had a horrible offensive line and decided to use the two first-round picks on a running back and a tight end. Want to know how the Browns lost their two games to the Steelers? A game-clinching catch by the rookie tight end and a game-clinching touchdown run by the rookie running back. Want to know how the Bengals just locked up the AFC North division? An absolutely dominant performance by their rookie wide receiver. Karma. I don't know if that's karma, but
I think it's karma.
That literally just popped into my head, how the Browns fans hated on those three picks so much, and those three players, just two of them beat the Browns twice. Well, I guess they all beat the Browns twice, but two of them had game-clinching touchdowns against the Browns, and the other one will be most likely the rookie of the year in Ja'Marr Chase. Yeah. It's just crazy how – but then if it's the Browns, it's like, yeah, that wide receiver's good, but your offensive line stinks, so it's not going to matter.
Yeah. like it did for when we saw Joe Thomas leave. It was pretty bad for a while, and it affected the whole team. It's I just skip.
All right.
The real question is, how do we get Ohio State to switch quarterback and receiver positions with the Browns next year? Can we do that?
It's crazy that the best receiver and the best quarterback between Ohio State and the Browns. I would literally take Ohio State's top three receivers and their quarterback over the Browns quarterback and the Browns top three receivers.
I would definitely take quarterback. I would definitely take the number one receiver. We'll see on the young guys. So a little bit early on those guys, but yeah, it's please. It's just a crazy, crazy where we're at, man. But
Before we move on to the defense, Scott Kordick from YouTube. Baker will be back on a franchise tag, 100% sure in that, but it will have to go swimmingly for the first 12 weeks, at least for him to retain the job and compete for a contract. Scott, he is going into the final year of his rookie deal. Yeah. They already extended it, so the franchise tag wouldn't be until the next 2023 year. Season.
And
let's be honest, the chances of a franchise tag, the chances of them paying Baker like $42 million.
Yeah.
I might have a better chance at winning the lottery.
I would not put a strong probability on that one.
Yeah. Scott, I somewhat agree with you if this is going into that next offseason. But yet they already extended Baker. I don't even know what the dollar amount is. But
$18 million.
$18 million. Man, nothing throwing $18 million on the trash.
Hey, we're going to trade him for Russell, okay? Switch him out.
That's right. And speaking of dead cap, this is another offseason thing that Joe and I will do. But Austin Hooper, he has an out clause in his contract this year. Remember 2 years ago when he was the highest paid tight end at the time? Yeah. That seems like, that seems like decades ago.
Wasn't it for like, I think it was for like a week or something. Yeah.
And then George Kittle or Travis Kelce signed an extension.
Yeah.
But he has an out clause. He, I think he's going to, if he stays with the Browns, which he won't.
Yeah.
He'll get paid like $11 million or something. If he's cut prior to June 1st, it's $7.5 million in dead cap space. So the Browns could potentially save about $4 million if they cut him.
Yeah.
They're probably going to cut him.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Like he just seems like a guy who's there. Doesn't it seem like he's just kind of a guy who's just like, he'll make a catch or two and then he'll drop a giant.
I would say a guy who's there that drops passes. Right. By the way, I think he had three drops tonight. And I'll use a nail and coffin cliche again, because his final one led to the interception that clinched the game for the Steelers. Yeah. I was like, Austin Hooper, what a great way to leave Cleveland, dude.
It was, it was not a good showing, and it's just not been a good showing all year, pretty much. It's pretty clear that David Njoku is the most talented guy in the tight end room, and Harrison Bryant's really good too as a backup, so I don't see a really important need for Hooper to waste money on there in a spot on the roster. So,
and people can say, well, if you cut him, then it's $7.5 million. But think about it the other way. If you cut him, you're saving about $4 million.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So enough about the offense, because that's just horrible, depressing talk. The defense. Actually, no. Before I go back, I need to say one more thing about the offense. The Steelers, it didn't help that, like Baker said, TJ Watt was going up against a rookie and James Hudson, who was getting literally no help. No idea why that was happening.
Yeah, I will criticize Stavansky on that. I don't know what the heck their game plan was.
The Steelers ended up with 9 sacks tonight, 4 of them by TJ Watt. Yes, part of it was Baker, especially when Baker was seeing ghosts and literally spinning out of the pocket when there was no pressure.
He did spin like 3 times today.
Yeah, it's just like even the offensive line, who the Browns have been able to lean on sometimes this season, the only positive tonight was Nick Chubb, and he barely played. There were no other positives on the offense. I don't know, although David Njoku's touchdown catch, if anyone's still on Browns Twitter, it was by the fingertips. It was a great catch. But all right, back to the defense, where, man, who would have ever thought the Browns would have to lean on their defense? It's crazy.
Seriously, after what, week 6, they've been by far the best unit on this team. I wrote an article this tonight. They in the last 10 games, they've only given up I believe 4 games over 20 points. That's incredible.
Yes, that is right. Because I edited it and I remember that stat that you wrote.
Yeah, that's incredible. Like they kept them in. I wrote that they were dragging this offense into games. They kept them in games for so long.
The fact that the Browns were in the game tonight tells you all you need to know.
Yeah. It's incredible that they've kind of completely turned it around. We were all ready to fire Joe Woods, and now he might have put together the best coaching job of anybody on the staff. It's incredible how much they improved over the course of time, and it was through, the most important thing was they did it through so much injury and illness and all that stuff, and it didn't drop that much. Even today, like, they gave up 26 points, but if you look, like, they were on the field, at one point it was like ridiculous. Let me see what they're at total, but they were on the field for like a ridiculous amount. They were on the field for 34
minutes,
35 minutes almost.
Yeah.
And it was just, they really kept fighting, and they held Pittsburgh to how many short fields they had, and Pittsburgh had to be forced to kick field goals. It was another good performance, and they lost more people today. Denzel Ward got hurt, and So that's not great. But it's the defense kept kept competing, and they stepped up. Sadly, no one else did.
The defense, like, going in next year, because obviously, one, we're waiting for next year. Like, and Browns fans are always waiting for next year, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But going into next year, you have Myles Garrett, Greg Newsom III, Denzel Ward, who I hope they extend this offseason, yep. Grant Delpit, JOK. I mean, hopefully Jacob Phillips can secure that second middle linebacker linebacker spot. But then, like, if you extend or if you re-sign Jadeveon Clowney, which I that's gonna be an interesting one. I think he might want too much. I would love it. Supposedly he would love it, but I mean, what's he supposed to say? No, I don't want to be back.
Right. I hate this.
I don't want to give him too much money.
Right.
Yes, he's a perfect sidekick to Miles, but I don't want to give him too much money. But then, like, Tack McKinley, if he can come back, if they can keep their they will keep their core guys. But then, like, bring back guys like that and then just add other guys in free agency or the draft, which I feel like the draft will be mainly offense. So I guess in free agency, this defense can be really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the main things just to watch this offseason. I think the secondary is pretty set.
I agree.
I thought, like, I don't think they're going to re-sign Harrison, Ronnie Harrison, because I don't think he has performed very well this year. But I've been really impressed with MJ Stewart. He has stepped up in the last, three or four games, and he might have earned himself the third safety spot, which is a necessary spot on the Browns. But, yeah, I think the secondary is good. I don't really have an issue with the linebacker core, which is pretty incredible since how bad it was a couple of years ago, even last year. And I think the defensive line is the one to watch. Obviously, we have Myles Garrett, which we can rely on for years and years to come. But they need to hopefully re-sign at least one of the two, Tack or Jadeveon. Hopefully both would be nice. And then the interior defensive line is probably the biggest spot that they need to kind of add to because I don't think they have anybody that – is a future there. So they definitely have to do that. But it compared to the offense where we have to do quarterback, running, or quarterback, tight end, maybe receiver, maybe offensive line if they need to reshuffle there. The defense just has one position, maybe two. So it's a complete flip on last season, because last season we talked about one position, receiver was the only position that they needed to really do, and now it's kind of flipped on its head and we're on the defense now.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's like topsy turvy, man. It's so weird.
It is. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it's weird, but there's just plenty. Luckily for a blog like ours, there are plenty of discussion points for the Browns this offseason. And there are plenty of directions that we can go as podcasting and writing. Like, if you want to write about the Browns, there are literally 1,000 topics you can cover this offseason. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And whoever saw this coming? The Browns could legitimately finish 7-10. And I think I projected them to go like 11-6 this year. Wow, that's far off, huh?
I think I might have been 12-5.
And that was like my worst case scenario. I was like, all right, if they lose this game, yeah, I know. If they lose that game, okay, 11. I'll give them 11-6 at worst. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Maybe not.
So
they were on track for that for a second.
For the first 2 weeks of the season.
First four.
The Steelers just beat the Browns
3-1 somehow. Do you remember that? Can you go back to that? That
literally seems like decades ago.
Do you remember that time? What a time to be alive.
Wait, were the Browns 3-1 to start the season?
Yeah. They went.
Holy cow.
Back when Kansas City, and then they beat Houston, Chicago, and Minnesota. Remember that after Minnesota? We're like, wow, we have a defense, man.
That's right. That was back when I used to look forward to doing these Browns podcasts. Now I'm about to fall asleep.
It kind of all just kind of went downhill after
Arizona. Oh my gosh, crazy. I know it's tough for me to say I'm at a loss for words because we've not been talking for 40 minutes, but if to try and describe this Browns season as a whole, I'm literally at a loss for words.
It really is. It's pretty wild. We've seen a lot as Browns fans, but man, this is one for the ages.
Just when we thought we'd seen enough, the Browns come back and totally redeem themselves.
Yep.
So the Steelers just won 26-14 in Big Ben's home finale. I have to admit, I'm not a fan of Big Ben or the Steelers, obviously. But the way that Steelers fans sent him off was pretty cool. I know I might get hated on by the waiting for next year, guys, some of them. But like the way he went around the stadium and like shook hands with a lot of fans and stuff, I thought that was pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine how many decades it'll be from now when a Browns quarterback will play for the same team for what, like 16, 17, 18 years, whatever it was. That might be like, we won't be alive. I'll put money on it that we will not be alive when that happens.
Oh my God.
So the Steelers just won 26-14. The Browns dropped to 7-9 on the year. They go
hard to say it, right, man?
Yeah, I know. They go into a pointless, yet again, a pointless game next week against the Bengals. If you win, cool. If you lose, you secure a better draft pick and an easier schedule next year.
I forgot what it was like watching a meaningless game.
Yeah, I know. Seriously. The Browns literally went from I wrote about this morning. The Browns went from Super Bowl aspirations this year to being eliminated from the postseason with two games out to go in the regular season.
In a 17 week season with seven teams that can make the playoffs.
It's great. Yeah. 14 of 32 NFL teams make the playoffs, and the Browns, who were literally top six odds to win the Super Bowl this year, were eliminated with 15 games into the season.
Imagine if, we probably would have kept in it. Never mind. I was going to say, imagine if there was only six teams, but we were in the AFC North race for a while. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, final thoughts. I don't really have any. I hate to be negative about this team, but it's hard to be positive about anything but the defense because the defense is, I guess, the side of the ball that the Browns are going to have to lean on. Luckily, I know I keep saying we'll talk about this during the podcast this offseason, but me and Joe will hopefully we'll do like a bi-week, not bi-weekly, but like a podcast every other week or something, whether it's NFL draft, free agents, anything. I do trust Andrew Berry to make the right decisions.
That is the key. I think that's the key. Yeah.
Yes. So
we did not have that.
No, previously. I couldn't tell you the last time we had that. Like for John Dorsey, it was like, who's the? I don't even know what John Dorsey was going to do, honestly.
Pick some guy who has like multiple arrests on his.
True. Although Kareem Hunt turned himself around, but yes. Still.
Yes.
John Dorsey was. Yeah, he was doing his best to bring the Oakland Raiders to the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. You were probably about right on that Antonio Brown situation.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, speaking of that, what a situation that is. And he was at the Nets game tonight, by the way, so he still hasn't left that Brooklyn area.
That talk about a story. That seems like a Brown story.
That's gonna somehow be an incredible not. I know this is another tangent. That's gonna be an incredible 30 for 30 one day.
It really is.
Antonio Brown's career as a whole.
Doesn't that seem like a Brown story?
It does.
Should have been a Brown story.
Takes off his jersey.
Somehow it's a Tom Brady story.
Yeah. Runs off the field in New York, and it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that he's on. He's told he can't fly back with the team.
Gets an Uber.
So, yeah, there's a Snapchat of him getting an Uber. So everyone's like, how is he going to get that back to Tampa? Fast forward 24 hours, and he's at the Nets game in Brooklyn.
Still hasn't gone back to Tampa.
He's not going to. If I'm a millionaire, too.
You can have my clothes.
Yeah, exactly. Have my clothes, have my house. Although he probably doesn't have a house. He's probably just renting somewhere since he probably wasn't planning on staying in Tampa that long. All right, that's enough. We go on so many tangents this slate. But, yeah, final thoughts. Steelers just beat the Browns 26-14. There's one game left in regular season. Joe and I will unfortunately. Be back with you probably like 5 o'clock next week. Joe, I hope you're not going to the game. I feel bad if you are.
We'll see on that front.
All right, so Joe will not be.
If we are, it's probably going to be a early leaving time there. So
okay,
it'll probably be earlier than
that. So we'll see you guys around 5 o'clock next week to just talk about the joy season. And fun. Yes. Joy and fun, always, when it comes to the Browns, obviously.
The draft.
It is. Oh, it'll officially be the offseason next week at this time. So we can talk draft and that'd be crazy.
Let the leaks begin.
Oh, sorry,
I had to throw leaks in back.
I can only imagine how many sources people are going to start leaking stuff to starting tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun. Browns Twitter is always fun, right, Joe? Browns Twitter is always fun. It's always even more fun this week.
Yes.
Do you know what's even more fun than Browns Twitter? Browns Twitter Spaces. Just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, Twitter created Spaces for us Browns fans.
it's a therapy center, okay?
That is one interesting way to put it. Usually therapy helps you out. It doesn't make you want to punch a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
But for those of you joining us live, one, I ask why, considering it's 1 a.m. Two,
shout out, I'm the captain.
Two, oh yeah, I saw that on YouTube. Two, thank you for joining us live, always. For those of you listening to our podcast and wherever you listen to all of your podcasts, we appreciate it. And yeah, the Browns just dropped a 7-9 somehow. And they have one more game against the Bengals next week in the home finale. We'll be back with you next week. Or I guess not next week. It's Monday night, Tuesday morning. We'll be back with you Sunday night at 5 p.m. And I hope everyone has a good night. And as always,
go Cavs.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.